Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as just mentioned, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Want to start this broadcast to thank people, or by thanking people, because as I was listening to Randy as he was opening the show, he was talking about the fact that we're doing this broadcast live today because life and truth matter. And that's absolutely true. But we're also doing this broadcast live today because people are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And this month, we have a very special gift to send out to those who are supporting the ministry. It is the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Over 50 new entries. Now, many of you, and I'm holding this up for the camera for those who are not just listening on radio, but listening on television, you look at the difference between these two books. I have always loved this book, the first one. But when I saw this second one, and by God's grace, I didn't see it until today. It just came in. And when I saw it, I just went bonkers over it. I mean, I have never seen a book this beautiful. It is leather bound. It's embossed in silver. And quite frankly, is a legacy of my work for over 40 years in ministry and around 30 doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answering people's questions. And so I'm very, very excited to put this into your hand. You will not find a more beautiful, well-laid-out book anywhere. And this book involves questions that relate to biblical interpretation, to cults, to religion, to science, to ethics, to afterlife, apparent contradictions, and so much more. I try to take the complex and make it simple and memorable so that you will not only remember, but you will be able to recall. Pull the information back out of your mind so that you can use it. I answer questions running from the common to the complex. For example, what are the ABCs of redefining marriage? What is replacement theology? What is the Euthyphro dilemma? Now, the moment that I say Euthyphro dilemma, many of you will be tuning out saying, what in the world is that? And even if you tell me, I won't care. But why is that question answered in the Bible Answer Book? Well, it's answered in the Bible Answer Book, and I'm turning to it right now, because this is one of the questions that is asked over and over again by professors gone wild, not so as to help people learn, but to strip them of their faith. The Euthyphro dilemma is named after one of Plato's famed dialogues, and it purportedly puts the Greek gods on the horn of a dilemma. Is something good because God wills it, or does God will it because it's good. Now, if we say that something is good because God wills it, we immediately perceive a problem. Goodness now is left in the hands of a capricious God. Put another way, right or wrong, good or bad, has now become arbitrary. But on the other hand, if we say that the gods or God wills something because it is good, we're gored by the opposite horn of the dilemma. However, if we say that something is good because it reflects the nature of God, then good and evil, right and wrong, are neither arbitrary nor autonomous. God wills what he wills because he is good, and what he wills is right because it is reflective and consistent with his nature. So what is posited as a dilemma actually turns out not to be a dilemma at all. And if this Plato's Euthyphro dilemma serves a purpose, it is to teach us to question questions rather than assuming that the answer is valid. So, practical application for a moment. Your student is in a classroom. His faith is being stripped away. You hear them talking about the Euthyphro dilemma. You don't know what it is. The answer's here, not only for you, but for you to give your son or daughter in school. I'm thinking another entry, brand new in the newest edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book, revised and updated. Is America going to pot? Well, I'm not going to give you the whole answer, but let me just give you a little teaser. Because America's downward spiral is nothing short of staggering. Popularization of the pill in the 60s paved the way for the horror of Roe v. Wade in the 70s. Acceptance of same-sex sexuality in the 20th century has mutated into legalization of same-sex marriage in the 21st. And even as I speak, the legalization of medical marijuana in 20 states has morphed into legalization of recreational marijuana in states like, well, Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, Washington. And because of the inherent dangers in a drag of the magic puff, I've developed the acronym POT as a memorable reminder to reject the reefer culture. So I talk about the psychophysical problems, the occult dangers, and the THC liabilities. All that and more in the new Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Again, I have not been as excited as I am today in a long time. Got the book. I just could not believe the finished product. It exceeds my wildest expectations. I'm deeply grateful to Laura and Jack at Thomas Nelson and many more that have made this book a reality. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Also want to mention that for those who join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. It will be a lifetime keepsake. Again, you can check this out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Did I say I was excited about this? I am really excited about this. Writing a book right now on Islam. And you know, when you're in the midst of writing a book, it's so hard to see the finished product. So when this came in today, it spurred me on to do what I'm doing with excellence on the subject of Islam as well, because obviously we're in for a clash of civilizations. This book right now available for your gift and for those who join the monthly CRI support team, again, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Hopefully this month we will sign up more people to join the CRI support team than ever in the history of the ministry. I'm praying to that end. And again, thanking those that are standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. A lot of you hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Clara. She's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Clara.
Hi. Yes, my question is, where in the Bible can I find where they're talking about the alcoholics or the drugs and, you know, how they behave and everything?
Sure. Proverbs is a good place to go. If you look at Proverbs chapter 20, Solomon says that wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by them is not wise. But this is talking about intoxication, and someone being intoxicated. There it is. If you look at Proverbs chapter 23, you see that wine bibbing and gluttony go hand in hand, which is to say we're not to abuse our body in any way, physically or metaphysically. So we're not to overeat, we're not to overdrink. The idea in Scripture is do not get yourself into an altered state of consciousness, because when you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do.
Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of alcoholism in my family, and I've seen it all through my out through my lifetime. And I'm just trying to find, you know, some book, you know, where I can start reading and trying to explain to others, because, you know, there's a lot of people that we know that's on the streets and they're just alcoholics and they drink. And it's really sad.
It is. It is sad whether you abuse your body with alcohol, with drugs, with food. We are to be caretakers or stewards of our body, because only one life, soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ken next, listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ken.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
I would like to also say thank you for doing what you do, and you inspire me and several others, I'm sure, daily. But I was wondering if you could please speak on today's prophets and on those that call themselves prophets. When I hear that word from someone and they're supposed to be giving me, or those of us that's in the audience, a prophetic message, you know, I understand that the Lord speaks to people, but I have a problem with people today using that word.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ken. There's a sense in which the word prophet can be used properly, which is to say, you can talk about someone who has a prophetic message in the sense of exhorting, encouraging, strengthening the body of Christ. But the problem today is there are a lot of people running around the landscape saying that they are prophets of the same caliber as the Old Testament prophets or the New Testament apostles. And in fact, I'm hearing modern-day prophets saying, you know, if Elijah showed up, or Jeremiah showed up, or the Apostle Paul showed up today, they'd stand in line to try to get my autograph, because I am, quote-unquote, a super apostle. And I think this is extraordinarily dangerous, because the Bible is laid upon a foundation of prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament, Jesus being the cornerstone. So in the sense of prophets and apostles that have their roots in Scripture and have a completely unique role, there's no sense in which we can say that anyone in the present can do what they could do or is of the same quality in terms of their prophecies and in terms of their apostleship. We certainly depend on people prophesying in the sense of foretelling, encouraging, strengthening the body of Christ, but not foretelling the future or supposing that they have a mantle that just fell off the back of Elijah or Elisha, and now they're the next in line and doing more than the biblical prophets ever did.
Wow. Thank you. That's exactly the way I was thinking. I don't understand how you can definitely week after week call yourself going to put on some kind of show and prophesize to people. It's like, do they have a line in the guy that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, they're purporting to, and they don't. This is one of the problems today, is that people are assuming mantles that are not truly theirs to wear at all. It's a lack of humility, and it's a lack of biblical knowledge. I wrote about this in a book called Counterfeit Revival. You can find that book on the web at equip.org. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. How should Christians respond to the LGBTQ community? What about Easter celebrations? Should Christians fear death? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more are the questions answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive Hank's revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone calls. Next up is Mike listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. I'm a monthly supporter. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for supporting.
Yes, my pleasure. Actually, my honor. I have a question to do. I was reading in Genesis 9, I believe it was, the other day about it, and it was late at night before I'm going to bed, but I didn't really get the part about the connection between Noah after the flood. He grew a vineyard and, you know, had wine, drank too much wine, was drunk, was naked in bed, and his sons, you know, backed in and covered him up. And then afterwards, the next day, Noah knew what had happened. And then he placed a curse, I believe it was, on Canaan or Canaan and to do with Ham. I was wondering if you could expand on that, because I didn't really understand why Noah would do something like that.
Yeah, in one sense, what you have to look at this as is a prophecy. He's prophesying what is going to happen to his sons after his death, what is going to happen to their posterity. The fulfillment of the prophecy came when the Canaanites were enslaved by the Persians. By the way, one thing that I always note in this context is that the idea of slavery here is used in the context that I just mentioned, being subjected to a foreign power. A lot of people will try to take this and use this as some kind of a pretext for slavery in the modern world, but this has nothing to do with this. This is a prophetic statement on the basis of Noah. It also has to do with sins which are not completely delineated in the text, so we don't know the full extent of what the sin is. We're only told this in the sense of knowing what's going to happen to the posterity of the sons involved.
Okay. Yeah, that I would not have pulled out of the text myself. That's why I needed a little bit of enlightenment. Thanks for that. I have one more little quick one, ask one more.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just more current, dealing with the church, with the Syrian refugees and so on, I thought I'd be involved with a local group trying to, at least discuss the idea, sponsoring and so on. And so I went in with the full belief that if we could sponsor a persecuted Christian family, I would be for it 100% to assist, to sort of take somebody under the wing and help them, you know, start a new life. I'm not really into the refugee thing totally, in that I don't believe, I've got mixed feelings about it in general. But when I approached the church group, and these people have been around the block, they've probably been Christians 20, 30 years, and I was the only one in the room that actually had this idea. Everyone else more or less shot it down, saying, no, it makes no difference whether you're Muslim, any religion. And I was kind of blown away, because I thought Christians would typically want to support Christians, but I'm finding out that in the church nowadays, there's a lot of sort of the world thinking. Anyway, that's my opinion. I'd like to get yours on it, maybe a suggestion or two on, as to how to convey that message thoroughly to church members.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Mike. I mean, what you have right now, especially with Syrian refugees, is a population that has faced incredible persecution. 1.1 million Syrians are Christian, and the vast majority have been exiled or executed, and so they don't have a safe haven. They're in a very difficult place in the Levant, where Muslims can far more easily survive. So they're in hostile territory, and I think the other point that has to be made is, people sort of look at religions as though they're all equal, and they say, well, religions are just ideologies, and therefore we cannot discriminate one from another. But this is not true at all with Islam. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is a socio-political, religious kind of system of law. And it is far, far different from anything that you find in other religious contexts. Islam has always, historically, and you have 14 centuries of history to look at, has always advanced by the sword as opposed to advancing by the word. I mean, they've advanced by propagation as well, because Muslim men can have four wives. But this is a system which is a very, very dangerous, socioeconomic system for the world. And quite frankly, terrorism isn't the only problem we're facing. We're facing this whole idea of migration without assimilation, what I call the python swallowing the prey with a long and slow digestion. And I think that countries need to be wise and secure their borders. But I like what you said in the prologue to the question as well. You have a compassion, you have a heart for those who are in need. And if God lays that on your heart to help a Syrian family come and give them housing and start a new life, I think is wonderful. But every country has to look at this realistically. You look what Angela Merkel has done in Germany. She's taxed the German system to a breaking point by allowing a million refugees into the country. And she's starting to see the backlash of that, which happens as a result of acting in a precipitous manner. You know, I've often used the illustration, I have 12 kids, nine natural children, three adopted children. They're all the same to me, but they're 12 children. They're a lot in terms of taking care of, a lot to provide for, to nurture in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. If I adopted another 12, I simply wouldn't have the time or the infrastructure or the finances to be able to support that. And I think countries have to look at that realistically as well. Obviously, you're calling from Canada, but in the United States, we have a debt that will approach, in the very near future, $20 trillion. And so we can take in people right now, but the burden for the cost of managing all of that is going to be on our children and children's children. And so we have to not simply say, well, that's going to be their problem. We'll just live in the now. We have to take all these things into consideration, being wise as serpent, gentle as doves.
Well, thank you for that. I'll carry on being a thorn in the side of some of my fellow believers, not to divide, but to argue the point of standing up for persecuted Christians, and trying to assist them in some way. I look at it this way, I have specific scriptures, but when it comes to the Bible speaking about us being in the family of God, I don't understand how you can turn your back on family, and if you have the means to do so. If you have the means to do good, do it, and if you don't, then don't, as you said, with the support factor. But I appreciate your answer, and I will take it to heart, sir.
Very, very much appreciate your heart, and thanks so much for the call. We'll go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Brian in Buffalo, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I had a question about, I was listening to the show yesterday, and you had talked to one of the callers about the attributes of God that were given to us and the ones who aren't given to us. And that was kind of an eye-opening thing for me. I hadn't heard that before, so I was hoping you could expand on it.
Sure. Yeah, there's two words here, communicable and incommunicable. Communicable attributes are attributes that find a reflection in humanity. And the illustrations that I like to give have to do with love. God is a God of love. That attribute finds a commonality in human beings. Human beings have the capacity to love. human beings like God have the capacity to will. We have volition. So there are communicable attributes that God has and find their reflection in human beings. There are also what are known as incommunicable attributes. Those are attributes that have their function in God alone. You will not find a human being that's transcendent. You will not find a human being that's omniscient or omnipotent, all-powerful. So these are called incommunicable in the sense that they don't have a reflection in humanity.
Now, we have this will that's given to us from God.
Yes.
Now, does that will include the ability to... Because I'm in the middle of apologetics with a couple of friends of mine. They say, we don't have the will to accept Christ, that we accept Christ only because we're called. We don't have the will power to be able to believe in Christ. And I don't understand this.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I don't think that there's a solid biblical basis for that. I think that the Holy Spirit woos all humanity. First of all, he does so through the light of creation that shines down around us, the light of conscience that is written on the tablet of our consciousness, and we can either respond to that light or reject it. And that's why I oftentimes quote Jesus talking to Nicodemus, saying, light came into darkness, but men loved the darkness more than they loved the light because their deeds were evil. So the reason was not that they couldn't believe, it was that they wouldn't believe. And this is in tandem with what Jesus said when he was talking about the prophets, how long he had longed in his heart to gather the children of Israel, that the prophets and the false prophets and the false teachers were tearing away from the faith. He said, how long I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Our will plays a part. We can either respond to God in obedience and repentance, or we can reject the love that could be ours. So all eternity is a ratification of what we choose, whether we choose to love the Lord, to respond to his goodness and grace, to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, or to reject it.
And that will doesn't put us above God because it's the gift of God to us.
Of course it doesn't put us above God. That is it's a classic straw man argument.
Yeah. Okay, well, I thank you very much. I just ran into this show and I really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, man. Thank you so much for calling. Glad to have you aboard. Coming up to station break, do remember, we have a CRI app. You can download it and listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can read hundreds of articles. You can give in a safe, secure fashion. Just go to CRI's equip.org app. It's equip.org/app. Equip.org/app. Again, we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced, quick-fix culture, few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the answers they need to what can be a very long list of questions. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, offers you concise, accessible, and thoroughly researched answers. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break. endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book, and now he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Ben, listening in Troy, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Hank. I had a question about what the Bible teaches. I was just curious if you think, do you think the Bible teaches socialism?
No, absolutely not. The more money that government confiscates for counterproductive welfare programs, the less money available for charities. Money is not omnipresent. And if you look at a biblical motif, I think what you find is Christian capitalism, which is to say responsibility associated with wealth. And this is precisely what made America so great. You look at the war generations. They were very, very generous. They started relief organizations. They started hospitals. They started outreaches to the world. But when government is confiscating money for counterproductive programs, it ends up weakening what a country can do for its own people and for the peoples of the world.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Can I get your opinion on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15? And kind of like where that's coming from and what they mean. Because I know the whole chapter, he's not talking in analogies.
Yeah, I think that what Paul is doing in Timothy is he's talking about the role of women, just like he talks in other places about the role of men, which is to say that in the culture that Paul is addressing, women are on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. Their testimony is not even considered worthwhile or worthy in a court of law, very much like what you find in a lot of Islamic constructs. The woman's testimony is not bearing the same weight as that of a man. Jesus Christ comes into that culture as a culture revolutionary. He's a counterculture revolutionary. He is countering the status quo, and he has women in his inner circle, and women are exalted to the same level as men, a level that they should have always had. And so women are in Christ's inner circle, and the apostles learn from that. In Christ, there's no male or female, Paul ends up saying. There's ontological equality. But you have to look at the practical ramifications, which is that until a woman learns, she can't teach, just as until a man learns, he cannot teach. And therefore, not all men can be teachers, nor can all women be teachers. Those who have not learned must first learn before they can teach. But you find examples in the Bible of women who are teachers, like Priscilla, classic case in point. She is able to delineate the way or the gospel or the precepts of the kingdom in a much more profound way, and does that so that her hearers can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. So then, why does he say, like I'm reading, like in verse 11, it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." In verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." Why does he say that?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Until the woman learns, she cannot teach. And the same prescription is true for a man. A man cannot teach unless he has properly learned. In fact, James says, "Let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a greater a stricter judgment." So a woman has to learn in submission before she can teach. You got to remember, this particular culture had denigrated the roles of women such that they couldn't be involved in the process at all. They were considered chattel, the property of men, and now they're elevated to, as I said, ontological equality with men, so they have to learn in meekness before they can teach. But the value of women in Scripture is not in debate at all. God greatly used women in ministry. In fact, he chose women to be the first to witness his resurrection. He chose Anna as a prophetess, Phoebe, as I mentioned, a deaconess. Priscilla was a Bible teacher. Miriam was a ministry of music. Junia was an apostle, and the list goes on. So first you learn, and then you can teach, and that's true for all humanity. But in this culture, it is something that needs to be noted, because women are coming from a position of having been subjugated in an inordinate, improper, ungodly fashion.
So do you think men and women have like different responsibilities then, or?
Well, I do think, of course, my wife can give birth. I can't give birth. I mean, there are different roles that we can play. We have different responsibilities. We have different gifts, and we have to use the gifts according to the grace God has given us. But the one thing you can't ever do is say, "Well, I'm a woman, and therefore I'm not going to be held accountable for using my gift, even if I have the gift of teaching." That simply doesn't wash.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
hey, you got it. Thanks, Ben. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David in St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you can hear me clear.
I can.
My first question refers back to the Syrian refugees. Just clarifying that we are accepting of the, I don't want to say quote unquote Christian refugees and make them sound like they're not true Christians, the one they claim to be, because I'm sure we all know that a Muslim most of the time would not claim to be what he isn't. But to get into the States, I'm assuming typically they'll do anything they have to do to get here, or to use obviously fake passports and things like that. Just a scary encounter that I had from a few refugees here in South St. Louis, Missouri. Basically, the man with his wife, covered in black head to toe, were walking into a local grocery chain here in a small town over here called Clayton, Missouri. Just simply looked at him, didn't stare him down, wasn't disrespectful. But he just said to me in passing that we're gonna take over, there's nothing you can do, and we're gonna destroy your country. In plain English. And I just, calmly asked him where he was from, why he thought that. Told me he was one of the 250,000 Syrian refugees that we've accepted. And I said, well, you must be misunderstood, because we're accepting as many Christian refugees that need a home or a safe haven. And he said, what do you think I claim to be?
Yeah, well, I think what's important is that we secure our borders. It is the government's responsibility to protect its people. And I think in previous calls, what I've tried to point out is it is a Christian responsibility to give the piece of bread in the name of Jesus Christ, the cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. We are to be involved in humanitarian efforts, but the country's responsibility is to secure its borders, and right now we're being very, very unwise. We have little idea of what is going on. It's one of the reasons I'm in the midst of writing a book on Islam, because I think not only Christians, but government officials are benighted when it comes to this subject, trying to put something together in a very, very clear, articulate way so people know what the lay of the land is. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and talk next to George. He's listening in Tacoma, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. My wife died recently, unexpectedly, and a Catholic friend of mine who saw that I was having kind of a bad day grieving suggested that I listen to this pretty well-known Catholic priest online talking about grief and what happens with different stages of that. But anyway, this Catholic priest was using Hebrews 12 as his passage for his talk, and he was saying that those that have died, of course, from a Catholic perspective, some are in purgatory. Those that have gone on to heaven are actively interceding and praying for us and watching us from heaven and actively watching what we're doing and then praying with the saints for us on a day-to-day basis. So I just wanted to ask your opinion on that.
Well, I've actually written about this subject, two subjects involving Roman Catholicism in my new version of the Bible Answer Book, revised, updated. So I deal with purgatory, I deal with limbo, and I also deal with the difference between what Roman Catholics and Orthodox believe, because a lot of people get that confused. So these are three new entries in the new Bible Answer Book. It's called the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. But with respect to your question on purgatory, I think that purgatory undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. Scripture declares that Christ, through one sacrifice, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And that does come from Hebrews, not only Hebrews chapter 10, but also Hebrews chapter 1. And therefore, I think we can rest assured that Christ received in his own body all the punishment we deserved, absolutely satisfying the justice of God on our behalf. He said it was finished. The debt had been paid in full. And I think, therefore, this idea that's being communicated by the priest undermines the seriousness of sin by forwarding the notion that there are venial sins that can be atoned for through temporal punishment in purgatory. But the Bible makes crystal clear that all our transgressions and all our iniquities are sins against a holy, eternal God, and therefore they rightly incur an eternal rather than a temporal debt. So the idea of purgatory as defined within Roman Catholicism has been around for a long time, has no biblical merit. As far as your wife is concerned, if she wanted to be a participant in the kingdom, then she is with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're grieving because you are separated for a time. But the great hope of Christianity is that you will be united for an eternity. Your relationship being something that exceeds anything that we could even imagine in this time-space continuum. Love to continue the conversation. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My prayers that go out to you, George. Can't imagine what you're going through in that. I've never gone through it. I've lost a preborn child, but haven't gone through what you're going through. So we will be praying for you. We're out of time, as I said, for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My deepest appreciation for those who are standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, because what you do really does make a difference for time and for eternity.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.